Mr. Leary, reel number 17.
The only thing, personally, as I dreaded, was having to go into barracks. That was, I dreaded that. And I was glad to get in with the Anson Battalion, Royal Naval Brigade. I was glad to be in that at the start, to go abroad and all that business. And I was glad to get out of it when we finished at the Dardanelles. I was glad to get back in the Navy. And people used to say, oh, you're doing the Royal Naval Brigade? And I'd say, aye. Or CIVs, Churchill's Innocent Victims. They used to throw a kind of a bit of a slur at you, you know.
There's another question I wanted to ask you. I asked you about big ships and little ships. Do you have any reactions to serving in... I know you didn't serve in a foreign station as such.
No.
But what was, amongst seamen, the general attitude to service in home waters and service in foreign stations? Was there
serve
any...
abroad. Oh, yes, to get out of the home waters. Oh, yes.
As a matter of fact,
they'd do anything to try and get to go abroad.
Why?
It was just to... Of course, you know, at that age in life, it's an inclination to go abroad. It's same as holidays now in civilian life. You think it's better to go abroad for your holidays than what it is stay in England.
Was it only that? There wasn't any ways in which the service was more attractive, had better conditions in foreign stations as opposed to...
No, I don't see as it was.
Okay.
Of course, there was the advantage, you see. We used, as I was saying, I don't think I did tell you that we used to get tobacco in an issue there, you see. But the tobacco used to be stopped out of our pay. We used to get a pound of leaf tobacco or a pound of mixture tobacco. The mixture tobacco used to be in two tins. And the leaf tobacco used to be just ordinary leaf. Well, you could make that up, or you could get someone to make it up, into twist tobacco for smoking. You used to get one of the old salts to do it because you had no idea. Well, you couldn't get the canvas and anything to do it unless you was an old salt, you know, and knew how to get it. And you had to get the spun yarn, like tar rope, to roll it all in, you know. But you used to get the leaf tobacco for 10p a pound. That was in them days, 10 old pennies a pound. And the tin tobacco used to be 1 2d for a pound. And you used to get a big bar of soap for 4p. But you could only get it once a month.
Well, I've talked to you several times about discipline, generally. There were a few other things about discipline which interested me. I wondered if the standards of discipline varied very much between ships.
No, I don't think it would. As regards myself on the small ships, we had no discipline. It was the majority used to behave themselves.
Yeah. Did you find in your relations with petty officers, chief petty officers, and with commissioned officers that the standards of punishments for common offences would vary at all? Did different ones interpret things in different ways?
No, not really, but the fellow is, the officer is most people used to watch that didn't catch him out was what we used to call Jimmy the One. And Jimmy the One was a 2½ ring bloke. In other words, a lieutenant commander. His next lift would be to be a commander, 3-ring bloke, you see. And he'd just come from being a 2-ring bloke. So he'd got the other 1/2 ring and it made him very keen, you see, to get the 3 rings. So he used to be always bustling about a ship or a big establishment like barracks. And He used to be the one that if you got into any kind of trouble, you'd be going before him, like the following morning. He'd be like the first one as you'd go before. And the top one would be the commander, you see, the commodore of the barracks. He was the head one of the lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What sort of relations were there between lower deck people like yourself and the naval police?
Oh, well, you used to watch out they didn't cuff you, you see, sure. That anything you'd done wrong. But it was hard for anyone when they first joined the Navy because they don't understand and they don't tell them, you see, that, you know, oh, don't let this or don't do that. There is 13 things they tell you, but you find out it's like being a, you know, technical and practical. Until you've done the practical side a bit, you've got it off by heart. But the technical side, you don't. But some petty officers and some chief petty officers, and you know, they'd pass, some would pass a thing over that you'd done. But another one would jam you right in before the first, you know, Jim of the One. Another one would be, mm-hmm. just like the ordinary civilian police, where one had let you go over a slight thing, another one would make a big thing of it, you see.
Yeah. There's another thing that interests me. Naval traditions, ceremonies, things like that. You know, a very obvious one would be crossing the line ceremonies. But I wondered if in your service you came across many ceremonies that related to various kinds of events.
No, but sunrise and sunset, if you was in the barracks or on a ship, was always the same. And there were so many men to stand near the flag, stand to attention when it came for the flag going up or the flag coming down. Now, if you was in the barracks or on a ship and the bugle goes for sunset or sunrise when the flag's going up or coming down, no matter what you're doing, you're supposed to stop and stand to attention until you get the all clear after.
Yeah.
If you didn't, somebody would catch you out as sure as anything. Somebody would be there and see you, and you'd be in the rattle for it. You get so many days paid, stop. Not so many days paid, so many days leave and extra duties.
Yeah, I see. Were there any other ceremonies that you came across?
No, you know, it was just church parties falling and Roman Catholics fall out on the right and Church of England people, they'd have their service and then when it would be over, they'd... the Roman Catholics fall in or go to church or something or another like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they never used to make the Catholics go with the Protestants for a church service. You could voluntary if you wanted, you know, but you could always fall out. There was always that distinction if you wanted.
Yeah. You told me a bit quite early on about Aggie Weston's in Devonport.
Oh,
I wonder, were there any other rest homes apart from Aggie Weston's that you went to?
Oh, private restaurant. There was no clubs or anything.
Not
like
restaurants,
that.
Other rest homes.
Rest towns?
Rest homes.
Oh, rest home. No, not in Plymouth.
Only Aggie Weston's?
Only Aggie Weston's.
I see.
And right. Same at Portsmouth as far as I know.
Yeah. One thing I noticed when I was talking to soldiers about the outbreak of the war, that they all greeted it with tremendous enthusiasm and excitement and thought it was something of an adventure.
The what?
I wondered, on the outbreak of war in August 1914, what the sort of reactions of the lower deck were to it.
Oh, it was just, you know... it was just that it was going into action and see a bit of excitement sort of thing. You know, you don't think about these bombing and all this business going on and about the enemy hitting you his ship and sinking it. You think about what you're going to do with them. You know, you're going to see them off and You get too cocky over it. I remember the first Christmas I went on leave from the Navy. My father said to me, well, he said, why do you think this lot will finish up? I said, oh, I said, finish up. There's only one side in it. He said, don't you make too much of a mistake. He said, you'll find out, he said, before it's over, there's two sides to it. I remember that.
During the war, the size of the Navy increased enormously. I think it increased by 8 times. The kind of people... So you were a regular sailor yourself, but the kind of people who came into the Navy just for hostilities only, well, what kind of people were they?
Well, there was what they call the Royal Naval Volunteer Reserves. Now, they was young chaps that used to... Most of them used to come from up by Glasgow and, was it, up in County Cavan, you know, and over in Shields, Durham and all that lot. There was a tremendous lot come from there that was in it before the war that used to go to be a weekend sailor sort of thing. There was like sailor cadets, you might say. I know this because they was all drafted into the Royal Naval Division. And Royal Navy, you know, the Navy was always looked up as more superior to the Army. You could get in the Army, but you were kind of at a job and you had to be really good and properly fit before you could get in the Navy. But you could have perhaps got in the army. Well, these here lads, you know, they used to Saturday afternoons and 13 evenings a week, these Royal Naval Volunteer Reserves used to go to a kind of a big huts they had, and they used to learn all about making knots and different things like that. They had naval uniform, you know, just like a sailor. And they used to be learnt about compass, you know, things that hardly touch them. Well, if they got in the Navy, about how to read a compass and a port side of a ship, the after side and the pointed side and the blunt end, you know, that's forward and aft. And all these things, they learnt all like that. And I don't personally know whether they had a miniature rifle range, but there was a lot of them didn't know much about a gun when they came into the Royal Naval Division.
Do they all seem to be pretty green?
Oh yes, and they got a terrible swiping out. They you know, they absolutely got nearly all seen off.
In the Naval Division?
In the Naval Division. And then also in that there was the Royal Naval Reserves.
Yeah.
Now, they was on the big cargo ships, fishing boats, and passenger ships.
These are the mercantile marine people.
Mercantile marines. Well, we call them Royal Naval Reserve, you see, RNR. Yeah.
How did they fit in?
Well, they fitted in pretty good. We had a few of them came into the Anson Battalion, you know, after Antwerp, because we'd got like below strength then, and they generally give them jobs like cooks and more like that, to be a cook.
Yeah.
I remember the fellow that was over the C Company, as I was a cook, but he'd come in as a petty officer cook in charge of it. And he didn't know much about cooking, but he, of course, I was only a boy, you see, I was only about 18, and this was a man of about 30-odd years of age.
Mm.
And, of course, he was made a petty officer.
Mm. Were they, apart from the Royal Naval Voluntary Reserve and the Royal Naval Reserve, were there any other classes of people who joined the Navy for hostilities only?
No.
I mean, were there many people who just came into the Navy for hostilities only as volunteers?
They came in, yes.
Yeah, but with no connection with the RNVR or the RNR.
No, they could join up direct, you
yeah.
say.
So
like
were,
I did.
Yes. So during the war, there were still a lot of direct volunteers,
yes.
as you had been.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at the first, when the war started, they wouldn't take them in the Navy because the Navy was over strength.
Yeah.
That's why all the barracks and everything was full up, you
yeah.
see.
But they did take them later on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, these people, these straight volunteers with no previous naval connections at all, mm. what kind of impact did they make on people like yourself who were regular sailors?
Well, of course, I was, you might say, a soldier. And they'd come in, and they, although there was volunteer reserves and all like that, they was only a soldier, you see, for when we went to the Gallipoli Peninsula, we was all put in khaki.
I wondered, with all of these civilian volunteers coming in directly, whether it sort of changed the character of the messes in any ways at all, as compared with pre-war.
What do you mean, in the barracks?
In the barracks or on ship?
Not with the Royal Naval Division, it didn't.
No, look, forget. Just want to mention a few of the sort of main events of the war. And I wonder if you could give me some impression of how the lower deck reacted to them. The first one I'm thinking about is the Battle of Jutland. I'm wondering how the lower deck reacted to it as a naval battle, what they felt about it.
You mean the people that was independent of being in it?
Yeah.
Well, of course, they thought it was a terrible thing, you see, because they put some of the old battleships out there and they put the Royal Fleet Reserve men on them. That was people that had served active service, you see, in the Navy for so many years. They'd joined for so many years and they'd done so many years active service, and then they had to do so many years Fleet Reserve. They was on a retainer, same as I was the last 7 years. You see, I joined the Navy
yeah.
for 12 years,
yeah.
5 years active service, 7 years reserve.
Well, how did
and
they
a
feel
lot
about
of them
Jutland?
Fleet Reserve men came in, and they was put on a few of these old battleships and put out in the North Sea. I forget the names of the ships, but there was three or four of them sunk one after the other,
yeah.
and nearly all them men got drowned. Mm.